Coming up on podcast 1073, Mercedes-Benz adds two new EQA variants to the lineup, all-wheel drive versions. Stick around and I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, we're talking about Tesla tapping up a tiny Canadian company to help them build batteries. Ford Mustang Mach-E production numbers as they arrive in Norway. Kia EV6 goes on sale, and the Ford Transit could be a key vehicle for them. I'll tell you why. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for what happened on Wednesday, 5th of May. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story to save you time so you don't have to do this job. And we'll start with some pictures sent in to Teslarati by the user at Blake M of the Tesla Model S Plaid spotted driving around San Francisco. It's got the white interior, it's got the yoke steering wheel, it's got the new interior. So this is the new refreshed version, if you don't know what I'm talking about here. So having a quick look at these pictures, all looking good, all looking like we've seen before, and the interior is, you know, kind of a work in progress. There's kind of cables hanging out from the center console, there's cables hanging down from the center screen where the phone inductive charging would be. Interior doesn't look like the finish is there. No jokes about Tesla fit and finish, please. And but the screen, you can't really tell that it's angled towards the driver. I thought it was going to from what they'd said, but it looks pretty fixed in its position. It looks like a very early example of a pre-production car. In the back, we can see the space where the rear screen is going to go, but it's not in there. So again, these pictures aren't finished, but interesting, these cars are kind of driving around certain areas. Like I said, this is driving around San Francisco, and the testing continues. Could be next week, could be next month, could be 6 months' time these cars get delivered. We just don't know. Okay, let's crack on with the news, and we'll talk about a story that's been doing the rounds over the last few hours, and that is Tesla tapping up a Canadian startup to build some cheaper batteries. It's a TechCrunch report, actually, which was, I think, the first anyone had heard of this. 2 weeks before Battery Day last year, they say, Tesla purchased a number of patent applications, they weren't granted at the time, from a Canadian company called Spring Power International, based outside Toronto, for a grand total of $3. A dollar each. Buying the patent application meant that when the patent itself was granted earlier this year, it was issued to Tesla. No mention of Spring Power. Manufacturing cathodes for electric vehicle batteries, says TechCrunch, traditionally generates large quantities of contaminated water, maybe up to 4,000 gallons, containing ammonia, metal particles, and toxic chemicals for every ton of cathode material produced. So what did Spring Power have developed? They developed a clever recirculation of the chemical solution, removing the need for expensive water treatment. And that was something that was talked about on Tesla Battery Day. So, having a look at this patent application, it was first put in around this time, actually a bit before March last year. And if we look at what it pertains to, specifically, they have bought these three applications, now granted, innovative process to produce cathode materials for rechargeable lithium batteries, process for recovering materials from spent rechargeable lithium batteries, and method to produce cathode materials for lithium ion batteries. In fact, it was filed back in 2019 and provisionally 2018. So what's going on here? Well, we can take a look at Tasmanian that talks about this story as well, saying that the description of the technologies for the production of the 4680 cells, one of those was all of this that we've talked about, no waste water, less investment, less cost to make the cells. Now, for example, there's been a bit of a coming together of Tesla and Spring Power over recent months. The CEO, Michael Wang, has been interacting with Tesla employees on LinkedIn. So I went to LinkedIn and I just searched for people who have the name Tesla and Spring Power in their profiles. And there's a chap called Amrit Bogan, was working at Spring Power as a chemical technologist, now working at Tesla. Somebody else called Yang Lu used to work at Spring Power, now works as a senior research engineer at Tesla. Look, it's only two people, but I think it likely points towards a startup company working with Tesla for a period of time and now acquired. Maybe they weren't getting towards commercialization. Maybe they weren't able to bring that product to market, but they had something that was worth developing alongside Tesla. A couple of ways of looking at this story. One is that Tesla bought these patent applications 2 weeks before Battery Day. And so, you know, one option is Tesla looked at their calendar, realized they had a big presentation coming up, quickly bought some patents, knocked up some PowerPoint slides. Bish, bash, bosh. Let's get on stage, boys. I've seen people suggest that online today. I genuinely have. Or you could say that Tesla was working with this specialist company and over a period of time, maybe months, even years, got to the point of acquisition and they had to sell these patent applications. Maybe not as part of the assets of the company, but for whatever legal reason, I don't know, they had to sell them separately for a dollar each, you know, some sort of admin exercise, such as probably more what it was. Bearing in mind, Battery Day itself was delayed several times. But hey, you make your own mind up on that one. All pointing towards more bits of the jigsaw puzzle coming together for Tesla's new cells and production techniques. Okay, moving on. And here's a story that kind of made me laugh and smile, but also probably not that funny if you're involved in it. The MG5. It's an estate car that we have here, and they market it as the first electric estate car. It's got just over a 50 kilowatt hour battery. MG, of course, a famous British name, but now owned by the Chinese. And if you want a car like this that's highly practical and, you know, not necessarily the most desirable car on the market, but a really good price, you get loads for your money. It's well worth looking at. The MG5 has roof rails, or, you know, for a roof rack. The thing is, you can't use them. Initially, they marketed this car as having roof rails that could carry 50 kilograms, but shortly after the car went on sale, they told buyers, you can't use them, they're just for decoration. We put them on there to look nice. Well, it turns out, it came to MG's attention, they hadn't actually done some key testing. Says which.co.uk. They couldn't confirm that it would carry anything, let alone the 50 kilograms advertised. The latest development is that they've now had the testing done, and it's come back as 35 Ks. So, final sign-off is expected, and you can have a roof box, a roof rack, carry your bikes on top of your car, as long as they're not more than 35 kilograms. Now, MG did tell Which that it was a validation testing procedure missed because of human error. And the company has since amended processes. The original claim of 50 kilograms was also, this is awkward, human error. Now look, if this is Dave in the roof rails department that's missed these two big things, I'd probably say he needs a performance review with his manager. Moving on, Ford Mustang Mach-E production numbers are in. And somebody I follow on Twitter, Matthias Schmidt, says that 20,960 all-electric Mach-Es have been manufactured during the first 4 months of the year, the first third of 2021, according to Ford data. As a comparison, 42,200 Audi e-trons were made all of last year. The 20,960 all-electric Ford Mustang Mach-Es made during the first half of the year could be competition for the combustion version of the Mustang. It's behind it year to date, but ahead of it in the month of April. That would be a headline, wouldn't it? Electric version of the Mustang sells more than the combustion version of the Mustang. A few people wouldn't like that headline. I'd absolutely love it. Next, we'll talk about the Mustang being delivered in Norway. And the first buyer in Norway has received his vehicle today. We can see a picture courtesy of Clean Technica. And he looks so happy. Someone's given him two bunches of flowers to wave in the air in front of his midnight silver-coloured Mustang. Dark grey, metallic. Looks nice. Good choice of colour, sir. He's delighted. He's not sure about the flowers he's holding in the air, but the photographer told him to do it. He's surrounded by some Ford people. And if you've noticed the Ford Mach-E sales going down in the US from their peak launch in January, February, they've been trending down. It's because the cars are being sent over here, which is good for European buyers, not great for the US, not great for the rest of the world. Several thousand are going to be delivered before summer, and it explains why US sales are trailing off. Ford has only so much production capacity. They sell everyone they can get. They're trying to get stock into dealers and onto forecourts so people can have a look at various colours and different options, but every single car they can make, they're selling. And here in Europe, and well, in the EU, we have some regulations, talk about them all the time, CO2 emissions, and if you exceed them for your fleet, all the cars that you sell as a car-making company, you get fined. So it's in your interests to sell EVs here and not in places where there aren't those rules, like the US, like Australia, that has nothing like that. So to avoid paying penalties, if you've got limited supply, you'll take them to the parts of the world that can save you money and save you paying fines. A Ford exec confirmed with Zach at Clean Technica, first year production target, 50,000, announced back in November 2019, holding steady today. So 50K Mustang Mach-Es should be made this year. That's a healthy number. I wonder how many Kia EV6s will be made. Goodness, I hope a lot. I do hope, because I love this car. It looks I love the platform, love the Hyundai Ioniq 5, love the Kia EV6. Kia has opened factory orders for the EV6 following a European reservation phase. The big number they give is 33,000 prospects. What's a prospect? Is it someone who called up and said, oh, can you send me some details? Because they've got just over 7,000 reservations. That's a better number, I should say, to really look at. Anyway, Kia has secured what they say 300% of their expected volume for this year. Does that mean they are oversold by three times? If they had calculated their production volumes and they're going to send, I don't know, 5,000 cars here, 7,000 cars here to the EU, whatever that number is, and they've got 300% of that? Does that mean that if you haven't ordered one by now, you're in for a bit of a wait? We'll wait and see. The president, Jason Jiong, hope I said that correctly, said, and I quote, "The high number of customers who have put their name down for the EV6 highlights the strong demand, and we're confident the launch will be successful." Surprise, surprise! Look, if you make them, they will come. If you build it, they will come. If you make EVs, you can sell them. Shock, horror, eh? Goodness me, we know that EVs are supply constrained, and we know that's because that EV production is battery supply constrained. The minute we have more batteries, we'll have more EVs on the market, we'll have them at cheaper prices as well. I hope it's good for the EV6, because again, they'll sell every single one they can make. Next, we'll talk about the headline story today. Mercedes-Benz, the EQA, adding two new variants, and they're all-wheel drive as well. And they can be ordered now. Later in the year, there is a version coming with a long range, and we like the look of that. But we don't know what the range is. For now, we know there's the new EQA 300 with 168 kilowatts of power, and the EQA 350 with 215 kilowatts of power, setting no drag strip records. But that's not the point of this car, right? I've had people say, oh, yeah, but it's a GLA with batteries. All right, think that if you want, but I really like this car. I like it inside more than I like the outside. It's a bit bland outside. Sorry, Mercedes designers. But inside, look, I like a button. I like a tactile button. I'm not crazy over the moon with the, you know, Tesla minimalism, but, you know, to each their own. It is subjective. So two powerful all-wheel drive models starting at €53,500, but because it's cheaper than 65k, it qualifies for Germany's environmental bonus, as they call it. So €5,000 from the government, €2,500 from Mercedes-Benz, means that effectively these cars start at 45 grand, and that is really appealing. An all-wheel drive EQA, bit of Mercedes luxury, well built, starting at €45,000. I mean, I'm not pretending it's a cheap car, but I think it's a competitively priced car when you look at the competition. The EQA comes with a year of free charging with Mercedes Me. That's where they kind of gather together various charging networks under one banner, one charge card, one bill. Free charging for a year, not including Ionity, but it's discounted there. Let's move on. Let's talk about Ford opening their Transit Electric registration sites. They opened up their website for what they call hand raisers today. I know what they mean by that. I can just imagine sort of fleet buyers going, "Hi Ford, hi," and waving at them. Anyway, they've opened the website for hand raisers to register their interest in the first ever full size all electric van ahead of the official ordering. So this is getting to meet fleet buyers. Give us a wave. Hello, raise your hand. July, you can order one. MSRP starts at $43,295. More than 450 commercial customers, they say, have expressed an interest. 200 top fleets and fleet management companies want to get involved in the Transit Electric. I can understand why. So many variants of this, long wheelbase, high tops, etc. Going to be made at Ford's Kansas City plant in Missouri. They've studied 30 million miles of customer data. data, and they know the average transit does 74 miles a day. You charge it overnight every night. That's why they've given it a battery capacity of 67 kilowatt hours, and it'll do 126 miles of range. Nice little buffer. You can go long journeys when you need to. If this is used for deliveries, look, you know that your Amazon delivery or whoever is plotted to within an inch and a minute of its life. They know where that vehicle is going to be every minute of the day and when they can stop and charge. And it's just a great solution. A vehicle like this will do a lot of miles in its lifetime. And the more dirty diesels we can take off the road, the more clean commercial vehicles we can get on the road, you know, the better. It's got Pro Power on board, so you can power 2.5 kilowatts of AC. So, you know, work tools, you know, laptops for diagnosis if you're kind of working in service industries and stuff like that. It's brilliant. All right, let's talk about Tesla offering pedestrian warning systems in older vehicles. Tesla has started to retrofit speakers to the Model 3s, which were built between July 5th, 2019 and September 9th, 2020, and Model Ys built after August 14th. Tesla had put the wiring harness into the vehicles, but not the speakers themselves, says thedriven.io website. Now, having it retrofitted not only means that you can make a moderately annoying sound to tell pedestrians, I'm coming, stop looking at your phone and look at traffic, please, but also you can use Boombox. It's a new feature in version 10 of the software, so owners can play various sounds outside their vehicle and custom sounds as well. Let's talk a little bit about the ID4 in Norway, the top-selling model in April 2021, top-selling model of the year so far as well. Let's look at the overall stats in Norway to begin with. Over 40,000 new passenger plug-ins were registered so far this year. 81% of the market, 4 out of 5 cars have a plug socket. Pure battery electrics are 53.3% of the market. Well over half now, pure battery electric cars in the market so far this year, first 4 months of the year. Star vehicle, Volkswagen ID4, making a big splash in April, almost 2,000 new registrations, market share of 14%. As a new model, it'll have a backlog, it'll have a queue, right? We know that. Some orders to unload first, says InsideEVs.com in the article that we are looking at today. It's also sold enough to be the top selling model of the year so far. That's really impressive. So, how's it done against the Model 3? Well, the Model 3 sold 4. And once again, we see that pattern of first month of the quarter, nothing, no ships arriving, and then it ramps up, end of quarter push, just the way that they do their logistics until they start making vehicles locally, at least here in Europe, from Berlin. We did the odd ship from China, it's all about when the stock arrives. They don't hold any inventory in, so they can't flatten that out, so it's really up and down with Tesla. Hey, a quick mention for batteries. They can make you rich, you know. Not, I'm talking about if you, you know, invest in battery stocks. Hey, that's your call. No, I'm talking about if you start the company, because that's exactly what the founder of CATL did. His name is Zeng Yuquang, and he's now worth $34.5 billion. CATL is probably little known outside of the industry, but it supplies Tesla, BMW, Volkswagen, Toyota, Honda, and the company from China, Geely, that owns Volvo and Lotus. Now, the founder still owns 25% of the shares, and his fortune has risen as fast as EVs have risen. According to Forbes calculations, there are 9 billionaires on their rich list that owe all of their wealth, or most of it, to this battery company. There are 8 Facebook billionaires and 8 Alphabet or Google billionaires and 8 Walmart billionaires, but more if you're involved in battery production. It's kind of a neat story. It doesn't really mean anything. I just thought it was funny that, you know, it just shows how much intensity is around electric cars right now. Let's finish off with a key story from here, and that is Volkswagen putting pressure, I think maybe subtly, we'll wait and see, maybe some lobbying on regulators to do with emissions. And if what you think I'm about to say is they want them relaxed, it's exactly the opposite. You see, Volkswagen 5 years ago got their ducks in a row and started developing their electric platform. As of last year and this year, as we heard with the ID4 story, they're really starting to stretch their legs, but they haven't really got out of the gates yet, not according to the plans that they do have. And the Reuters headline says, how low can you go? Because Volkswagen is throwing down the emissions gauntlet. they've softened their stance on the emissions rules here, and they're actually hoping that they become a little bit tougher. Three sources telling Reuters that Volkswagen, which owns car brands like Porsche, Audi, VW and Seat and Skoda, is very quietly letting policy makers in Brussels know that it would actually support a more ambitious cut in emissions than their rivals. So if they wanted to push through some laws that were more environmentally friendly, they'd have Volkswagen's backing. Volkswagen has set itself a 2025 deadline for overtaking Tesla as the world's biggest EV maker, a plan that includes six battery factories here in Europe, some owned by them, some with partners, by 2030, says this Reuters report. Tensions over emissions cuts have been coming to a head recently. For instance, at one board meeting of the European Automobile Manufacturers Association back in March, two people familiar with the matter said that several chief execs were concerned about the prospect of EU emission standards becoming tougher because that would blow a hole in their fossil fuel business. Volkswagen, meanwhile, saying, hey, we've got an early lead here. We can really turn the thumbscrews a bit, put some pressure on our rivals because they know that they've got the battery contracts in place. They've got the supply. They can supply the vehicles. They've got their plan to 2025 and onwards as well. New platform coming soon that will replace the MEB. That comes to the end of its life already. We've just started talking about it. And then by the middle of the decade, Volkswagen can see themselves being the world's biggest maker of electric vehicles. As a group, of course, not as a brand. So what do you think of that story? And anything else we've talked about today, leave me a comment in the comment section. If you're watching this on YouTube, send me an email if you are listening to the audio podcast. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. EVs are connected cars, but how much data are you willing to share? Do you mind your insurance company knowing where you are if you get a discount? Do you mind the maker of the car keeping logs on their servers? Do you trust engineers, people who write the code, to get it right 100% of the time, to protect where you've been and how you've been driving, and not to fall into the hands of bad actors? And if you are willing to share some data, because your cars have SIM cards in, all EVs are highly connected, what do you want in return? Let me know. Hello at evnewsdaily.com is my email address. If you can ever leave a review on Apple Podcasts, it helps me grow the show. If you can come and say hi on Twitter, I'm at EV News Daily. If you can have a look at Patreon, it's how we fund the show. And hello to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com. Hello, Derek. Derek Riley runs the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and it's good, and you should watch it. Richard is at rsev.co.uk. Now, if you're buying or selling EVs in the UK, he's your first choice. And hello to emobilitynorway.com as well. That is your show for today. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.